Well, good evening and welcome back to First Baptist Livingston tonight. Great to see you all here. I have a few letters to share with you from people who wanted to express their appreciation to us as a church body. First is from the Aaron Hughes family. They wrote that words cannot express the gratitude of all the prayers, cards, flowers, and food you showered on us during this difficult time. We're truly blessed to have a church family like First Baptist. Thank you all so very much. With love, the Aaron Hughes family. And then we also had a letter from Brother Dan Munson and Miss Pat Munson. They said, "Dear First Baptist Church of Livingston, thank you for the opportunity for serving as your interim pastor as you searched for your pastor. We also want to let you know how much we appreciate the church allowing us to live in the campus house while we were having our new house built. Thank you all for allowing us to use the fellowship hall for our 50th wedding anniversary. Your church has been a blessing to Pat and I for your ministry and for our ministry. Yours in Christ, Brother Dan and Pat Munson." So they had written that for their appreciation and wanted to share that with you tonight. And I want to invite you to open to Acts chapter 20 tonight. Acts chapter 20, as we move ahead in our series on Sunday nights on the Baptist faith and message. Acts chapter 20 is one of the many passages. If you've been doing this study with us, you know that we look at a lot of different passages to cover a topic from the Baptist faith and message. So we'll start there, and the other verses will be on the screen for you as we go. Tonight, we get to Article 8, which is on the Lord's Day. And as I was studying this week, I was thinking, I wonder if I was sick the day that they went over this in theology class in seminary, because some of this stuff kind of felt brand new to me. So that was exciting, but also a little scary because I was supposed to present it to you tonight. In regards to the Lord's Day, learned some things that I said, huh, I had never really thought about that before, just kind of challenged my thinking on the idea of the Lord's Day, but found it extremely fruitful. So look forward to sharing that with you tonight. So I invite you first to take a look at the screen with me. We will read how the article reads regarding the Lord's Day and the Baptist faith and message, and then we'll look in the scriptures to better understand what we read here. It reads that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It is a Christian institution for regular observance. It commemorates the resurrection of Christ from the dead and should include exercises of worship and spiritual devotion, both public and private. Activity on the Lord's Day should be commensurate with the Christian's conscience under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So we'll just kind of break that apart as we always do in our study here. But the first point I want us to see is that the practice of the Lord's Day actually comes from the early church. The practice of the early church was to meet on the first day of the week. The practice of the early church was to meet on the first day of the week, which is actually pretty interesting, given that the Jewish, from the Old Testament and the Jewish religion, meeting on the last day of the week, the Sabbath day, had always been their practice. But then on the early church, we see they met on the first day of the week on Sunday. So Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says this: "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight." So that idea of them coming together to break bread does not mean that they were just sharing a meal together, but that's usually what the early church would do as part of their Lord's Day. So it's interesting to me that they met for worship on the first day of the week. It's also interesting that they were meeting in the evening. If you think about it, the early church lived in a very pagan society that did not consider Sunday a special day in any regard. So many had to work their normal job on Sunday, and then they gathered for worship in the evening, which is interesting. And then 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2, Paul mentions another time where they were meeting on this first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So there, once again, Paul talks about the gathering of the church to bring this offering, and he speaks of it as the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. You know, we just take so much for granted that we consider Sunday the day that we come and worship. And you say, why do we do that? Well, it might be surprising to hear, and it was kind of surprising to me studying this week. This is the clearest reason for why we do it, is because it was the practice of the early church. The practice of the early church throughout Acts and other places, we see that they met for worship, for giving of their tithes and offerings, those kind of things on Sunday. And but it has a much greater meaning than just, well, here's the first day of the week and this is why we meet, and that's the second point. The great meaning of the Lord's Day being the first day of the week is that worship on the first day of the week corresponds to Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week, which makes a lot of sense given that the very center of the Christian faith is Jesus' resurrection. Paul says if the resurrection is not true, then we are most of all to be pitied. We should not go on preaching, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very hinge point and foundation of the gospel message. If Jesus just came and loved us and died for us, that would have done us no good without his resurrection to show that he has actually defeated our sin and death and is our living Lord and Savior even today. And so when we gather on Sundays, one of the key reason that we gather on this first day, the Lord's Day, is because of our celebration of our resurrected Christ. Luke 24, 1 through 3 says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." It was the first day of the week, Sunday, that Jesus rose from the dead. John 20:19. "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" You see, that first resurrection Sunday when Jesus rose from the grave became the day that the early church met to worship, to do corporate worship together. And so the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, not because of our tradition or not because that it works well within the American work calendar. It's actually because the early church met on the first day of the week. The reason being is it celebrated and commemorated the Lord's resurrection. Which, think about it, this had changed from thousands of years of Old Testament Jewish history of the Sabbath on Saturday. And so we'll get into more of that in just a minute. But number three, which is really an application to us, is that number three, we should regularly observe the Lord's Day. You know, I grew up in a home where you were not going to play on a sports team if that sports team was going to practice or play on Sundays. That was just something you were not going to do. I grew up in a home where we did not go to movies on Sunday. We did not cut our grass on Sunday. And the reason for that was is that that was a day that my family understood was special. It was different. It was unique unto the Lord. And that's what we did. And I think that Jesus certainly warns us against making those things legalistic, that somehow we have to earn God's favor by doing these things. But I think sometimes, just like I said this morning, I think my generation can sometimes swing to this idea of freedom in Christ, where really there's this beautiful, genuine and important thing. It's a gift that God's given us this Lord's Day to do something unique and different, and to uniquely worship and serve and focus on the Lord as a family and as the body of Christ. I mean, especially I think nowadays, as things have gotten faster and there are so many things to do, our commitment to the Lord's Day as being something unique and different for the purpose of worship, it is something extremely valuable, and it's something that we're taught in Scripture. The Christian gathering on the first day of each week provides a rhythm and a structure to our Christian commitment and discipleship. The Lord Jesus commissioned his church to be salt and light in the world. And we go out there and we do that 6 days a week. But you know, Jesus said that I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. The understanding that those that we go out and seek to love and minister to, they don't think like us many times. They are very different than us. There are some things that we just do not share with not being brothers and sisters in Christ with them. And so the gathered community of the church is called together on the Lord's Day to worship and to encourage one another and to love one another and to fill one another up to go out and do what God's called them to do throughout the week. Let's remember that in Hebrews we are told and encouraged not to neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, it's just kind of me and Jesus. I love Jesus. I just don't love or have much to do with the church. And I would just say, I don't know what Jesus that is. It's certainly not the Jesus of the New Testament. Because the Jesus of the New Testament died for his church, and he loves his church, and he desires each one of us to be part of his church and to continue to gather together. The church is a fundamental, necessary element to our discipleship, to our growth in Christ, to our encouragement. And so we must continue to meet together, and we do that, and we form ourselves in discipleship by meeting on the first day of the week, what we call the Lord's Day. Colossians 3:16 says, this is what we do when we gather. Colossians 3:16, we're seeking to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Sunday is a time to be filled up. So much of the week takes from us. It takes from us mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and Sunday is a time to come and be filled up and to worship the Lord together. And that is something that is extremely important and valuable to us. Number four, the Lord's Day is not the Sabbath. And I want you to think through this with me, because this is a very interesting in my study. I'd never really thought of it before, but the Lord's Day is not the Sabbath of the Old Testament. The Old Testament Sabbath was clearly on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Exodus 20, 8 through 11 is where it was established in the law, when God said to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And you see, it's very interesting. There are actually two Christian denominations. One is Seventh-day Adventists, and also there's a Seventh-day Baptist who disagree with our understanding of the Lord's Day and believe we should honor Saturday as the day of corporate worship because of the Old Testament and the Jewish Sabbath. But it's clear in the scriptures that followers of Jesus did not practice the Saturday Sabbath of the Jews, but they changed and they celebrated the Lord's Day on Sunday. So now while in Christ, listen, we are no longer bound by the traditions of the Mosaic Law. It's important to note that while the Sabbath day of rest is in the law, God actually instituted it in Genesis well before the law ever came to be. So while we are not bound to obey the Saturday Sabbath ritual of the Mosaic Law, we are taught by God the normal rhythms of life, and his good design is 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. And that's extremely valuable, and it hurts us if we don't pay attention to this. The idea of overworking, burnout, anxiety, and stress-related issues, a lot of that has to do with us seeking to do the same things that we always seek to do and accomplish the same things we always seek to accomplish 7 days a week. When God, he established a rhythm of life even in the creation. Think about it. In the seventh day, God was not tired. He was not worn out by creating the universe. He is God. God never gets tired. He established that kind of order for us. It was a time to say, you need to work hard and do what I've called you to do 6 days a week. But then you need to trust me that this world is going to continue to revolve on its axis and revolve around the sun, and God is going to be in control even when you set the things aside and you rest. And you take a unique day to rest. And that day of rest does not have to be Sunday. Paul said that some people regard some days different than others' days, and some regard all the same. Just make sure that it's clear in your own mind. But I think it's very helpful to understand, especially for people like me as a pastor or people who volunteer in the nursery or children's ministry, that this idea of having a rhythm of Sabbath rest, we don't have to be legalistic and say that Sabbath rest has to be on Sunday, because I know for myself and my family, Sunday is one of the most exhausting days of the week. But we make very sure that we establish another day of the week to be unique in sense of that it's not about accomplishing tasks. It's not about what we can get done. It's not about doing. It's about being. And that rhythm of rest is something that God teaches us from the very creation, is an extremely helpful part. And so while we do not have to be legalistic about the day, do not think that this idea of Sabbath rest has nothing to teach us or to tell us. For our very lives and health depends on being able to trust God enough to rest 1 day out of every seven. To not continue to believe that you have to strive and you have to continue to push in order to make life okay or to make it work, but that you trust the Lord with the day and you find this rhythm of work and rest in your life. And then number five, Christians should prioritize corporate worship on the Lord's Day and submit to the Lordship of Jesus for other Lord's Day activities. This idea that we should commit to corporate worship on the Lord's Day. I doubt that there would be anyone in here. Maybe they would. Maybe you wouldn't agree with me on this, but I don't think there's anything wrong with our people who work in an emergency room or first aid responders or different people who have to work on Sundays. We will not say that that is against the Lord's command to do work on Sundays, but this does have something to do with our priorities. And listen, a lot of times someone will take a new job or say yes to a new commitment without ever thinking about what will this mean for their corporate worship. What will this mean for their gathering as the body of believers? That's a really important question. Because as soon as you're not gathering with that body of believers, one, you're not being obedient to what God commands for us to continue to meet regularly. And two, anytime you get out of the habit, it's hard to get back into it. And we need one another. We need one another. We need to be encouraging one another and filling one another up. Matthew 12:12, as Jesus was speaking of the Sabbath, of course, this was before his resurrection, but the principles apply for sure. 12:12, of how much more value is a man than sheep, so it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. If you know anything about the religious leaders at the time, they had created all of these rules, these external rules regarding the Sabbath, that you can only take this many steps on the Sabbath, and you can't, you got to make sure you clean your fingernails real good, because if you're holding dirt under your fingernails on the Sabbath, you're working and not obeying the rule. And so they had taken this beautiful gift that God had given in the command of the Sabbath, and they had created it this legalistic list of rules. And Jesus comes in and he tears that down and he says, no, you should do good on the Sabbath. When they hated him for healing on the Sabbath, he says, well, if your sheep fell into a ditch, wouldn't you go and pull him out even if he was on the Sabbath day? Let's make sure we understand the heart of what God has given us here. It's not about making sure we fit all these rules in on a special day, but it's that we have a heart to give God a special and unique day for worship and for corporate worship gathering. Mark 2:27-28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Another picture of this idea of the gift that God has given us. And it's a gift that we should steward well and that we should prioritize in regards to the day that God has given us to worship. Of course, this was speaking of the Sabbath. Now we can apply the principle to our Lord's Day. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Romans 14:5-6. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor to the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Here's the heart of the matter. That God has called us to be a corporate people and to gather for corporate worship. And so on the Lord's Day, Sunday, we must, as God's people, prioritize that time. And in my heart, that means saying no to other things. No, you are not going, I am not going to choose to have my kids do sports on Sunday, and I'm not going to choose to do certain activities on Sunday so that we can prioritize the Lord's Day. But then again, I want to have a heart not to judge others who choose differently on those matters, but on those matters in regards to what they will do on that day. But I think there's no question that the priority of corporate worship is a priority that we are all called to in regards to the Lord's Day. And this is very interesting. Remember, I had told you in our study before that the Baptist Faith and Message has actually gone through a few revisions. There was a 1925 version, then there was a 1960-something, and then there was 2000. And one of the big revisions from the 1960-something to 2000 was in this statement on the Lord's Day. One of the main changes, which sparked quite a debate, was the change in the final sentence of the doctrine of the Lord's Day. Both of the older versions read like this. I'll read you what the older versions say, and now what the 2000 version says, and speak to it, and we'll be done. But the old version said, we should observe the Lord's day by refraining from worldly amusements and resting from secular employments, works of necessity and mercy only being accepted. So there were some really detailed things there. One, the refraining from worldly amusements, but two, even the resting from secular employments. And then the 2000 version, they switched it to say activities on the Lord's Day should be commensurate with the Christian's conscience under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is one of those things that is important to think about in theology is, the first one sounds more conservative, right? We want to be conservative and we want to be biblically based and believe all the Bible is true. But that was the argument is, you're giving something to the culture and you're taking a weaker stance by changing it in the 2000. That was the case on some side. But then on the other side, the argument was, well, is that truly what the scripture says? Because remember, the early church didn't even have the opportunity to take off Sundays from their secular work. And so they met on Sunday evening. And so the idea was that we're not capitulating to the culture. We just want to make sure we're saying what the scripture is saying, and we're not saying more than what the scripture is saying based on our law or the way we do this in our culture. So I think that's just helpful to think through in terms of these things. But I think to boil it all down, the Lord's Day is a gift to God's people for His glory, for His worship, to pause on the rat race of life and to focus on God and Christ, not only us as a corporate body, but as families and as individuals. So I want to encourage you to prioritize that. Before you just think, I'll take this new job, this will be so great. What will it mean for your corporate worship? What will it mean for your family and their involvement in the church? That's an important and vital question. Also, in regards to this idea of Sabbath rest, the world will continue to move forward, and your life will continue to move forward, even if you give a day to the Lord to say, God, today's not about doing, but it's about being. And I need to be in your presence, and I need to slow down, and I need to be in your word and in prayer. And I encourage you to, if you don't have that kind of habit or that kind of rhythm, to start working it out. And listen, that can be hard to do, to figure out the practical, especially with young kids in your home. It looks very different during those times, but still, pursue the heart of it. Pursue the heart that God is in control, and He wants us to have seasons of, that He wants us to have these rhythms of work and rest. And He sees the Lord's Day is vitally important to prioritize our corporate gathering of worship. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then I wanted to open up tonight to see if there's just any questions regarding this. Like I said, this was kind of kind of thinking through some things on the ideas of the Lord's Day, even firmed up some of my convictions on these things this week. So just want to give that opportunity in just a moment, but let me pray for us. So, Lord God, we thank you that your word is good and true, and it leads us on the paths of life and of righteousness. We thank you that you have called us to be a unique and distinct people who trusts you and lives by your word. So may we find the trust and the faith to be able to do that, to set aside a day within our 7 days that have a rhythm of rest that's good for our souls and for our longevities in the callings that you have given us to make disciples and to follow you. I pray that you would just work in our hearts when it's hard to trust that we can slow down, when it's hard to trust that we can say no to a commitment so that we can be committed more to the Lord. I pray that you would guide us in our love of our corporate worship gathering on Sundays. And may we be a people who value that and who do not give ourselves to lesser things and to quit meeting together, but that we would continue to meet together, to encourage one another, to sit under your word preached, and to sing your praises together, O God, and that you would be lifted up and worshiped in that, and that our worship and our praise to you on these Sundays would also be great witnesses to our community as they come and see, and that they see our love for your gospel and for your grace. We thank you for this Lord's Day that we've shared together as we've gathered under your word and worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, any thoughts or questions? Did I answer yours? I knew one person had a question, and so that's why I did it. I'm talking to Mr. Randy in the back. Yeah, that's a good question, and I would love if someone has studied this more intensively, because that is something that I was kind of thinking through as I was learning today. You know, I think one of the arguments is this idea that Christ has come and he has fulfilled all the law. And so now in the new covenant, it is actually the Lord Jesus who is our rest, as we rest in his righteousness alone. And so in a law sense, and Brother Jack, I'm going to ask you if you have something to add to that, but in a law sense, that's kind of my understanding regarding the law of the Sabbath. And then in regards to the Lord's Day, now we still have that structure of the 6 days of rest and the 6 days of work and 1 day of rest, but I don't necessarily see that as having to be the Lord's Day. It's the corporate, don't mean to put you on the spot, but okay. Please.